Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. That's on page 847 of the Bibles in your seats. Again, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this marvelous opportunity for worship with your people. Thank you for your presence among us. Pray, Lord, that you would be glorified through the word proclaimed. Thank you for the opportunity to affirm our faith in our prayers, in our songs, or through the Apostles' Creed. Pray, Lord, that these moments before you and with one another would serve your purposes for us today, the week, and the days to come. Glorified in us is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to have my annual physical. And of course, during that time, they took my vital signs, all of which were in the acceptable range. Weight is not a vital sign, but it was out of range. We have a couple of docs here on this morning, but vital signs, vital signs are signs of life, the objective measures that are taken to determine life, but also, in a sense, the quality of life. Temperature. And I think 98.6 is where it should be. And when you begin to fluctuate on either side of that, it can mean problems. Respiratory rate, heartbeat, and pulse. For much of my life, I have been a runner of sorts. So my pulse rate, my heart rate is lower, but strong nonetheless. Blood pressure. My doc tells me that needs to be 120 over 80. Just happened to be when I was taking my physical, it was in range, huh? Signs of life. Physical vital signs are one thing, but spiritual vital signs are something altogether different. When was the last time that you had your vitals checked? Both in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. Well, the spiritual vitality of the church at Thessalonica was what was in view when Timothy went there around about 50 AD. It was out of deep spiritual concern that Paul had sent his ministry partner and God's co-worker there in order to check their spiritual vitality. Here it was, this recently planted church And was it viable? Huh? We have in our kitchen, right at the sink, there are some small plants that eventually will make their way to my wife's garden. And you know how it is with a very tender plant. Sometimes the transfer from one setting to another, it could be very strategic and very vital. It has to be done right, huh? In a matter of weeks, Paul had been separated from this church that he had planted. Huh? The Lord had used him and his team to plant it there in Thessalonica. Circumstances had prevented him from returning. We see some of those things. You know, he said that Satan hindered us. We saw that, I believe, on last week. There were reports that had begun to circle about this pastor, this preacher that had come to town. It circles things like the following. Well, he's just another charlatan peddling his wares and making merchandise of the people. Where is he? He hasn't returned. We haven't heard from him. At least the brother could write us, check us out and see how we're doing. Huh? Paul felt, in view of these things, that it was necessary for him to defend himself in order to counter the accusations that were swirling around him or about him. We notice in chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, he defended himself on the basis of his pastoral presence among them. How he had positioned himself among them there. His pastoral parental heart really comes through. I mean, he was as a nursing mother around in their midst. He was as a caring, nurturing father that was encouraging his children, huh? They knew that he had done just that because that's the way that he had functioned in ministry. Far from taking advantage of the people that were there in Thessalonica, he actually had nurtured them and cared for them well, just like a parent with a child. And oh, don't you just love, I love the West Side because, boy, there are little ones, they're babes in the womb, they're babes in the arm, they're babes in the lap. And then there are others that are growing. And just like a parent with a child, how a parent would nurture, so Paul had nurtured them. Huh? They had seen his pastoral heart and his pastoral manner, but then he expresses himself in chapter 2, verses 17 to chapter 3, verse 5, as far as his pastoral longings while he was apart from them. He wanted them to know, and you saw this on last week, he actually ached, his heart ached because he was separated from them. His absence, he felt like he had been orphaned from them, chapter 2, verse 17. And yet, though he was absent from them in a physical sense, emotionally, he was there. Chapter 2, verse 17, the last part. He was there in heart, though absent physically speaking. Huh? In spite of all of those things, it got to the point that he had to have something more sure as far as how they were doing. And thus we see chapter 3. Therefore, when he could bear it no longer, we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind in Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, not just anybody. Timothy, reliable Timothy, his right-hand man. Timothy was there. Huh? In order for Timothy to engage his pastoral gifts among them, to be a blessing in their midst, afflictions associated with Christian life, had the Christian life, chapter 3, verse 3, had been the lot of the Thessalonians. And he wanted to check and see how they were doing, so Timothy gets the call. So we make it to today's text. Paul's pastoral response to the report that he gets from them. Look at chapter 3 and verse 6. And as we walk through these verses, this is what I want you to see. We see Timothy's report in verse 6. We see Paul's response in verses 7 through 10. And then we see Paul's request in verses 11 through 13. Timothy's report, Paul's response, and then Paul's request in verses 11 through 13. January of most years, with exception of an inaugural year, we hear from head of state in our nation in a report called, what, State of the Union, how it's doing, huh? What Timothy actually brings with him back to Paul, who was in Corinth then, can be likened into a state of the church kind of report. Huh? Look at there in chapter 3, verse 6. Now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. Huh? Progression is clear, isn't it? Chapter 3, verse 2, Timothy goes to Thessalonica. Now, chapter 3, verse 6, he has returned. Paul is at Corinth by now. And it's likely that this letter was written shortly after Timothy's return. Huh? Can you imagine Paul, the pastor, the church planting pastor, anxiously awaiting this particular report? Huh? What would the news be? What would be the report about the families or individuals that were there? What was the status of their faith? When Timothy had put his spiritual stethoscope to the heart, or otherwise to check the pulse of the congregation, what was it that he found? Were the people there sharing their lives in meaningful ways? Huh? What about their hope? Was it vital, vibrant, huh? Robust? Were their lives in the process of changing? Was the sanctification process becoming more and more like Christ? Because that's what sanctification is all about. Is growing up into him who is the head in all things. It is looking like Christ more and more and more. Huh? Did they still have an appetite for God's word? Because you remember they had received it not as the word of man, chapter 2, but they had in fact received it as the word of God. Huh? Whether those questions were in his mind, we really don't know. But we do see this. The report that came was a good, good report. Huh? Timothy had left with questions. He had returned with answers. He was returning with the kind of report that he knew would be an encouragement. How many of you, great time, report time comes, and you're glad to get your report home to mama and dad? Huh? And if some of you were like, Did some of your great cards sort of disappear conveniently at any time? Oh, there's probably nobody here like that, huh? All of you good studious folks, you were glad to get the report home to mama and daddy, huh? I remember my Uncle John. He didn't live very long, but one of the things that I remember about my Uncle John, but that he promised that if we got certain kind of grades, that he was going to reward us. I'm not sure if he did or not, but nevertheless, it was a good promise. It was a motivator. Huh? He had seen the spiritual life Timothy had, and it was good. It was good news. It was gospel-like. The good news of the gospel had been received by the Thessalonians, and the fact that there was growth was going to be good news that Paul would receive on the other end. Huh? I want you to look at verse 6 particularly, because I see there are two spiritual vital signs that come into view in verse 6. You see them there? Now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought to us the good news, there it is, number one, of your faith, and number two, of your love. Huh? Your faith and your love. What about the vital sign of your faith? Huh? I mean, if you were looking, see, faith is a very prominent word You look at chapter 3, verse 2. He was sent to establish and exhort them in their faith. Look at verse 5. For this reason, when I could no longer bear it, I sent to learn about your what? Your faith. Chapter 3, verse 6, he's brought good news of your faith. And look at verse 10, as we pray most earnestly night and day, and that we might see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Huh? He sent to check on their faith in the midst of affliction and trial. And friends, when you're going through affliction and trial, whether it might be severe or minor, faith is vital. Faith is crucial. Because we as believers, we are people who don't walk by what we see. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that great chapter on faith says that without faith it is impossible to please God. And without it, there is no Christian life. Our faith in God needs building up and strengthening. And on this morning, through our corporate worship and prayer, God uses things like we have done this morning. Even the Apostles' Creed, it begins, I believe in God the Father. And it goes on to give all of these wonderful statements of faith where we can reaffirm our faith in the living God. And he uses these things and even the preaching of the word to reset and to refocus and to refresh and to recalibrate your faith. Has the reset button been pushed this morning yet through what we have done here together? Has your faith been reset and refocused? Because you know there are a lot of things in life that can help fuzz up life. It can cause the screen of life to go blank. As I was preparing on last night, I get a phone call from my wife who is away on a mini retreat. She tells me, I've got sad news. And was gripped by a dear friend of ours whose son had taken his life. Gripped by that. That's severe. But there are things in life that come across your way daily or weekly or occasionally where you and I need to refocus our faith. When things get a bit fuzzy in life, when life happens and ugly happens and the unwelcome and unexplainable and unwanted invade your life and mine, we need to hit the reset faith button. The psalmist was like that in Psalm 73. He had looked around and he had seen the prosperity of those who were claiming no kind of faith at all. And it worried him. It worried him that they were fat and prosperous and employed and well. And he began to scratch his head and said, basically, is it worth it? You know, I've ordered my life in this way. I believe in a God that I can't see. I trust in his word. And look at my life. What do I get for it? Ever think about that? That was the psalmist. But let me get you to turn just back there. I just want you to see a few verses there with me. Psalmist had to hit the reset button in Psalm 73. I think you'll find it on pages 414 and 415. What happened to him? Look at verses 16 and 17. When I thought to understand this, these complexities of life, how it seems like those who had no fault of God were doing so well. When I thought to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task in order to figure it out. It just did not compute. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned therein. Okay, he went to church. He went
to worship. He went to community group meeting. He settled in for personal devotions, a time with God. Huh? And then he began to understand. He goes on down. But look at verse 25 as he begins again to focus his faith. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, refocusing of faith, is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. Look at verse 28. But for me, it is good to be near to God. I've made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all your works. Reset. Faith. Does your faith endure in spite of hardship, difficulty? Or does it wane when life seems to cave in all around you? Do we rely on God's word, trust in God, even when the afflictions of whatever sort may come our way? Timothy was sent to check on and establish their faith. His investigation showed that there were vital signs of faith in the saints there at Thessalonica. While the faith of the Thessalonians was indeed alive and maturing, there was still room for growth among them. And thus we see in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10 of our chapter, that Paul wanted to come and to be used of God, even to help to mature their faith even more. He was going to use his gifts among them. Now, we see that one of the things that he began that process, even as we will look in the letter further, but he wanted to be there among them so that God could use him in their midst. Paul wanted to get in the game. That's sort of how I feel when I come to the West Side. I like what's happening on the West Side. And I'm encouraged. And I want to be a part of what God is doing in this congregation while we're stationed and committed. But the opportunity comes where we can come and encourage the faith of those who gather here. I'm planning on, I'm going to show up one of these Friday evenings at the Intersection Cafe. I got to come to that. Say a little bit more about that later. He wanted to get in the game. Wanted to use his gifts. You want to get in the game? Use your gifts as far as how God has equipped you in spite, and here's the deal, friends, in spite of the afflictions and trials in Thessalonica, faith was alive. Timothy found that faith, that is trust and belief in God, was alive, even in the midst of challenge. But notice also the other spiritual vital sign, the sign of love. Their faith was strong and their love was alive. Love for God and love for people, that they're both vital signs. Love for God is made visible through our love for people. And Timothy was spiritually keen enough to recognize love when he saw it. He saw it among the Thessalonians. Now, here's the deal. Do you recognize love when you see it? Do you recognize Christian love? Sometimes it might not be as visible. Oh, but believe me, friends, it is detectable. Now, you also know when it's not present either. How do you greet those who are somewhat foreign to you? To what degree do you share your life? Do you pick and choose? Do you draw arbitrary kind of lines as far as who you connect with, who you share with? Thessalonica, love was alive. Their love had displayed itself in labor early on. You see that chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 3. It had displayed itself. Did not our Lord himself highlight that love was a spiritual vital sign when he said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples and that you have love to one another? How's the spiritual vital sign of love in your heart and life, but also in the midst of this congregation? There were to be a check today. How would you fare? Faith showed itself in their actions. Love displayed itself in their labor. That was the two spiritual vital signs. There's another one we're going to see it later as we get on down to the text. But that was the report. The state of the church, alive and well. The state of the church, faith, vibrant, love, vibrant. But notice the report of mutual longings. That you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. Not only was there faith and love, they wanted to see. Just like Paul was wondering, what are they feeling about me now? Well, Paul, now you know. There was this mutual, there was this reciprocal kind of longings. They wanted to see him as much as he had wanted to see them. How's the church doing? It's alive and well. The faith pulse is strong. The trusting in God in the midst of life circumstances. Though challenged, they are trusting and believing and enduring. They're looking beyond their own needs and they're responding to the needs of others. They have learned to elevate the needs of others and to respond to them even at cost. That's the kind of love that's in view there. State of the church, it is well. Look at Paul's response in the verses that follow. And it was on the basis of this report, verse 7, look at for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through what? Your faith. What was Paul's response? Encouragement in the face of affliction, his own affliction that he was faced with in Corinth there. Because just about everywhere he went, he faced opposition. But in the midst, there was encouragement. It was sort of like he got a shot in the arm by reason of his faith. The news of the Thessalonians' faith brought Paul comfort or encouragement. He was there in Corinth facing gospel-related challenges. But in spite of those things, the news from Thessalonica encouraged him. It was like a good old tonic. It was a shot in the arm for him. Look at verses 9 and 10. Not only was there encouragement in the face of affliction, there was joyful praise and fervent prayer and a desire, as we've already seen, for participation to be used of God in their lives. It prompted joyful prayer, praise, and fervent prayer. Seems like perhaps in verse 9, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Perhaps Paul had Psalm 116 in mind that says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? I will lift up the cup of salvation, call on the name of the Lord. Thankful and prayerful and joyful because of Timothy's report of the vitality of the Thessalonian believers. Look finally at Paul's request in verses 11 through 13. And these are the kind of prayers that were known as wish prayers. They're not directed directly to God in the second person you kind of. But again, look at them with me. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all of us as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father and at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What's he say? I want to be there with you. And may the Lord so guide and so direct. Now, it's his, in his hands, and it's his time, in his timing, but may the Lord guide us to be there with you. We see that that happened sometime later. We see, I believe, Acts chapter 20 says that he went again to Macedonia. It's likely that he made a trip. Lord, the timing is in your hand. I want you to rule. You're the sovereign God. So direct my path to you, or to them, as it would please you. And all of these things, you see there that it is under the purview, the scope of the God himself and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the juxtaposition of them. Two persons, one essence. God is the one who does it for his glory and to accomplish his purposes. Look what he says there. Now may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. Now, love was present. But you don't just want to stop with the presence of love. You want it to increase in the overflow. This was a prayer for the vital signs that were mentioned earlier. The prayer is that love would spill over amongst them and even toward outsiders. That was his desire. But then one of the things I want you to see, because this we land on another spiritual vital sign in verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness. Holiness of heart is a spiritual vital sign in the midst of God's people. Sanctification, being dedicated, being set apart for God and his purposes alone. Now, it seems like he's going to use this as we get into chapter 4. He's going to talk about holiness, in particular holiness as it relates to sexual purity. But he mentions it here as because purity of all sorts, sexual purity, guess where it begins? It begins in the heart, as do all other kinds of purity and sanctification. It ultimately is a matter of the heart. It's prayers that God's people would be established. And isn't that an appropriate prayer? At our Lord's second coming, the very secrets of the heart will be revealed, will be uncovered. And that's which is hidden now will be hidden no longer. If we're established in holiness and in sanctification now, it is preparatory for when the secrets of men's hearts will be revealed when our Lord comes. Timothy saw spiritual vital signs in Thessalonica. We'll look back in Acts chapter 8, James and John saw them when they went to Samaria. They saw signs of life. Barnabas saw the grace of God in Antioch. God was at work there. Christians were labeled little Christ. Christians there. Here's the deal as I move toward a few applications and bring it home to us. What spiritually discerning people see signs of spiritual life here? I think that we are tempted to define spiritual vitality in unbiblical kind of ways. We use the wrong standards. Do we measure spiritual vitality by the music that we play? Or by the eloquence of a speaker? Or should it be how that preaching is really shaping our lives? Again, I love the idea of the Intersection Cafe. That can be a vehicle for spiritual vitality. Now, we just can't be excited about the idea or its existence, but it can be a measure or an instrument of God's love in strengthening the faith and a platform for faith of those who come. Such a ministry can be a true work of faith and a labor of love and an avenue through which spiritual gifts can be used, even here in your midst. I was blessed earlier this week by something I heard relative to a congregation, a couple on our south side, and unbeknownst to me that they were doing this. I was in conversation with a local college student, and I learned that each Friday after school, this person goes to this couple's house and for the weekend. Yeah? Their home, in their home, there's a bedroom that becomes his bedroom. Their food becomes his food. Their home becomes his home. That's love. That's a spiritual, vital sign that is, boy, it's alive. It's well. I mean, again, I didn't ask for this information, didn't know this information. Boy, but it's great to see that kind of giving, that degree of life sharing in the family of God. Are your spiritual vital signs apparent? How would we fare? Huh? 2 years ago, this congregation was planted here on the west side. And what a blessing it is to be able to come and to see that there are indeed spiritual vital signs that are apparent here. Huh? Your work of faith, your labor of love, your quest for holiness. Keep those things going. Huh? How is our faith? Faith is crucial for Christian life and mission. May it be vibrant. How is our love? It's essential for the Christian life and our mission in this world. I love what Paul prayed. He showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Huh? How's our holiness? It's critical for the Christian life and our witness in the world and our standing before God in the next. Huh? Spiritual, vital signs that have application both on an individual and a congregational level. So what am I saying this morning? When God's people, notice what happens, when God's people display signs of spiritual vitality, what happens when that? God is honored and God's servants are encouraged and strengthened when that happens. That's what happened to Paul. When he sent Timothy, and Timothy saw and came back with that report. Boy, Paul was boosted by what Timothy had seen, spiritual, vital signs in the congregation. So what is my exhortation to you on the basis of what we see from this text? Stand fast, friends, both in Christian faith and character. Because when you do, you bless God, you bless his servants, and you bless his church. When you are standing strong, when it is well, because your faith is well, it is well. Because your love is alive, it is well. Because you're progressing in your holiness of heart. You encourage God's servants when that's the case, huh? These are spiritual vital signs that must be not be ignored, but they must be heartily embraced. And not only heartily embraced, but they must be pursued. When we do so, God is glorified. God's servants are strengthened and encouraged. And you and I continue to flourish in our God. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus.